Okay, my name is Chi Pelt, and I am sharing on decluttering of your soul, my soul. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is kind of funny because Linda asked me to teach on this declutter. Well, actually, would you share at the women's conference? I said, what's the title of this year? Decluttering. And I said, you got to be joking. That's not for me. Just give me something else. Maybe it's another year. And then I got brochures. And here, lo and behold, my name was on it. And the decluttering your soul. So, I said, oh, that is very good. Very good. Okay. Now, some of you have been to my house, know how messy my house is. Even though I say I know where things are, sometimes it gets to the place where it's really difficult to function. Then I just go around my house. I say, oh, let me just have this clean up the sink so I can cook. Or let me just clean up the pot so I can just, you know, have the choice of pots. Now, I'm not like that all the time, but often I am like that.
Is the recorder working?
I don't know. Do you want to check?
Yeah. Last time I will interrupt you.
No problem.
Okay. You're all set.
Okay. Sure. Interruption is good because life is all about interruption, isn't it? We have this great plans. This is this. Everything will be so perfect. Then my life will be like this. I can always say yes to the Lord and praise God. I am a child of God and I'm going to be a great example. But then something comes in. Then something else comes in. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, before you know it, we're like, really? Like, I have no idea what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And I think there's two things. I think today is really such an information age. So it's so easy to be so attention deficit kind of behavior. And I think Daniel 12:4, I think, talks about, I should look, check the scriptures. But, you know, and at the end time, knowledge will be increased. People will be going to and fro. And we are truly exhibiting that. And I find myself, like, every day, wow, it's just something just eating me up. You know, someone calls, someone, some emails. I see something and I remember. And all of a sudden, my focus is off. So, now that being said, I think we live in this world. We can't really condemn ourselves or all the things going on. But I think it's very important we take a strong foothold in where am I, what I am doing. So as I said, God was changing the message. I did have something prepared here. I even have it printed. But that wasn't quite, I felt, because I think we all know it. God, we are to say yes to God. We are to seek God's face. We are to surrender. And I think those are really nice things to say, and those are my goal, our goals. And I think we have a greatest example, Jesus. He was always surrendering to God's will, right? Up to the death on the cross. His emotions are high. He said, I don't want to go. If it's not your will, just take this cup away from me. I am sweating blood. But nevertheless, and I think that's the only time really he asked his disciples, would you come with me? Stay with me, tarry with me 1 hour. And the disciple tarry with him 1 hour? Well, they just went to sleep. And so he was even so disappointed by his disciples. Couldn't you have tarried with me for 1 hour? Really? Really, after all I have done for you? He doesn't say that. And maybe that's not how he felt. But definitely, why? Can't I give 1 hour? But yet, nevertheless, it's God's will. And he grabbed onto the hope, and joy was set before him. So that is our example. Ultimate. But we are not there, are we? And we are here. I think kind of Deuteronomy talking about when Israel crossed from the Egypt, it says it takes 11 days to go from here to there. Then on the 40th year, God said, you've been on this mountain for a long time. It's time to go. So that 40 years, what did we do? And that's where we are in some ways, from coming to the Lord to being perfected. I'm not saying that's 11 days, but we are in the middle working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And it is our work, right? Can you hold on just a second, because I really need to watch out my time. I only have till whatever. Okay, 9:30. Okay. But also Deuteronomy it says, and Lord God will put out the nations before you. What's holding us? Little by little. He doesn't say he's going to get everything out, but little by little. So let's be patient. Because sometimes I look at all these wonderful ladies, women of God. I said, man, what am I missing? So I said, what am I missing here? They seem to have no problem saying yes to God. They have no problem understanding if you really follow God. God blesses you. Why am I having so much trouble? I say no to God all the time. And it sounds really bad, but I do. Matter of fact, I said no to God a few weeks ago. Because this was a really strange thing, but he told me, and I knew it was his voice. That's a sad thing. He said, he told me to do something. I said, you need to talk to this person and get her phone number and pray with her. And I said, Lord, I really hardly know her. What are you talking about? But I knew it was his voice. I said, besides, she's not going to be here too much longer. She's leaving. She's just, traveling. I'm not going to do that. And I didn't do it. I'm just telling you, I didn't do it. Now, I felt guilty, but I said, maybe it wasn't God. Well, I don't know. My mind gets cluttered. I'm just giving you a confession. But yet, what if I obeyed? What kind of reward, not only I received, but this person might have received? You know what I'm saying? But I said no. That's really bad, and I'm here standing talking to you. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I'm confessing my sins. And if I asked her phone number, her phone number, she could have said no. I don't know that. But I knew that's what God said. But I said no. Is that pretty bad? Do you ever do anything like that? Mm-hmm. Ever?
Yes. Yeah.
And then we have all these reasonings. Well, that's kind of like a strange thing to ask God. She has lots of friends. She is so godly or whatever. But I am just saying that because I think that's the nature of us. We don't want to say yes to God. We don't want to say whatever you want, Lord. We want whatever he wants because we want the blessing. Let's be realistic. And I think we really misunderstand the blessing, what it is. We think blessing is what we get, what we want. We want obedient children. We want a nice husband. We want perhaps nice house, nice car. Or, I look godly. And people are going to look at me as if I'm a nice person. And godly person. We seldom look, this is all about God. Well, I don't know about you, but I think my first initial thought when I disobey, what kind of punishment he's going to give me?
Oh.
Does that make sense? And if I obey, what kind of reward he's going to give me? We are so reward-oriented or punishment-oriented. If I'm so different, just let me know. we can change back to this paper. Seriously, because I don't want to totally go off. Okay. So I think sometimes, as I said before, this is a big subject, because I think we are living this life, being perfected with fear and trembling. It is a work. And work is a four-letter word, isn't it? So, okay, let me see. I'm not even using notes from yesterday. Okay, so, well, I'm going to just share a little bit more about me. I am Jacob Peltz, as I said. I am, you want to know my age? I am 64. I'll be 65 in February. I have one child. I have 8 grandchildren. We live together. So can you imagine the clutter and noise in my house? And my husband and I have been in ministry for, we are all in the ministry, but years and years, and I don't even feel like I'm in ministry. I need to be ministered too. Does that make sense? I don't have anything to give you. You have all to give me. So I'm so humbled to be here. I really am. I just want you to know how uncomfortable it is for me, because I don't have anything I can give you that you don't already know. But I can give you my walk, what it's been. Because we grew up, we did grow up somewhat, but we weren't believers. I wasn't born in a Christian home. My husband wasn't a believer when I got married. So I didn't know God's word. Now I had experience with God. Thank God, when I was small, because whatever the reason, I was born into the dysfunctional family. And I think lots of you can identify with that. Some of you had abusive father, abusive mother. You didn't have parents. Perhaps someone has been abused physically. Maybe your parents are alcoholics. Maybe you didn't have food on the table. I can give you my sub stories. I really could. But I have to come to the term, everyone has a story to tell. Mm-hmm. We all have a story to tell. Even the people who grew up godly homes, mm-hmm. they have a story to tell. Because Ephesians 6, talking about how the armor of God, yeah. how enemy has a schemes. He has a plan for your life. Yes? And that plan is a method. He methodically, he is very patient. He is a lot more patient than you or I. God is more patient. Don't get me wrong. So if we hold on to God, we are more patient than the enemy. But enemy is not stupid. He is very smart. He has a method. So his method for me was to have a very insecure environment. Mm. My father was an alcoholic, very bright, but he really was not home much. He spent all the money everywhere. Some of you know my story, just forgive me. And so in some ways, somehow I had to perform well to buy my daddy's love. So somehow I had to be good to my mom so she won't be hurt more. So I learned not to say no. I learned to be a people pleaser. I would never say, well, I don't agree, because God forbid, if I don't agree with you, you might leave too. I mean, I don't. So, but it was just very methodical. And so one day, I was walking, one of my low moments. I came across a nun on the street, and she said, "What are you doing, little girl?" It was a river. I can't remember this, almost like yesterday. And I'm standing there. So, nothing. I mean, I was like six. Let's face it. I was only like six. And this nun said, he is sad. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Mm-hmm. He will make you feel better. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know any better. So, and she left. To this day, I think perhaps she was an angel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But so I said, okay. Well, if that's really true. Well, I didn't know. God says, you know, test me. You know, I am good. I didn't know any of that word. But I said, okay, if what she said is true, just come into my heart. And I cannot tell you how much of relief I had that day. It's almost like weight has lifted. Those rivers was like almost tempting for me to jump in to such a just beautiful river just flowing for me. Nothing changed for me as far as circumstances go. But I had the love of God. And I'm so thankful for that experience.
Yes.
But, amen, God is good.
Yes.
And I have to say that we are product of what happens to our lives. I was born right after the war. My brother was before. Food was rationed at that time. It's a kind of cute story. But so food was given to the family. And then they say, okay, let's cook this. This is for the today's portion. So my brother, being young, says he would, because in Japan, children are kind of honored. They were fed together first. And he would eat. I said, okay, let's save the rest for later. He would just put it away. Not even caring, you didn't eat. It was just all for him. And it's kind of sad, but it's kind of cute. I think we're kind of like that, you know? So, okay, let me just look to, how many of you here truly believe word is the word of God? You have no problem with that? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Because sometimes I think we release a word when we pick and choose. Mm-hmm. Don't we?
Yes.
We don't like some of the things it says. Some of the things we love. His promises. His promises. But sometimes when we're reading, something hard comes to you. It's difficult. And I'm going to give one more testimony, and then I'll stop with my testimony. But when we were searching for God, my husband and I, he's a Jewish man. Jesus was a four-letter word. Four-letter? No, five-letter word. Sorry. To him, that's the only way he used his name. I was a little bit more, I had a little bit more fear of God, even though I really didn't know what I had. I was a little bit more respectful. So, but it's a long story, but he has come to the place of starting to search the scriptures. If it was so, it is true, is it not? So then he started to fellowship with believers, and then one day he came home. I haven't really made total commitment to the Lord, even though I was a godly good wife, I thought. And by then, our marriage was not all that great. I don't know how many of you are in a wonderful marriage. Now, don't raise your hand. And how many of you are struggling with your spouses? If I can tell you, I was struggling with my spouses. Now, think about it. I come from Japan, rather dysfunctional, but very reserved home. My husband comes from New York, very loud. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be mad to speak loud. You know what I'm saying? So, I really don't like this dish you made. He doesn't mean any harm by that. But for me, I said, what? And he would say, I thought you really want to know. Don't you want to know the truth? Oh, I said, but I didn't know any better to say, no, I don't. You really need to get your act together. I didn't know any better. Because remember, I can't say no. I just have to be very nice. So by the time we were searching for Lord, I had this long list of how horrible he was. And I still have this list of how horrible he was. But then I have this long list of how terrible I am. Does that make sense? I come to the place I am not. Oh, the perfect miss I thought I was. But that took me a while. I can't believe this. He's searching for God. He really thinks that's like going to get him anywhere. Really? He should get his act together. To my heart. But one day he came back and said, well, someone gave me a word for you. He was very, very, very hesitant. And I said, no, well, good for you. He said, because I was not going to say he's being selfish, looking for God when you're being so unreasonable. And you think you're righteous now, really? So he said, well, very sheepishly, I didn't know why he was feeling that way, but he said, someone gave me a word on the Proverbs 31. Now, he muttered, said, someone said you are that kind of wife. Now, but I didn't hear that part. So I'm saying, okay, I didn't know what the Proverbs 31 was. So after he was out of the way, I opened it up. And I looked at it. And I can tell you, it's almost like a conviction. It didn't matter how horrible he was. By the way, he's not really that horrible. He can be, but I thought he was. I actually enjoy his loudness sometimes. His just funny ways. Occasionally he gets on my nerves, but we kind of laugh about that now. But I said, well, I'm not like that. Every verse, no, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I'm not like that. And I think at that moment, the word became lamer for me. Uh-huh. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. And I said, well, really, it somehow totally forgot what he was. He could be perfect man, he could be a horrible murderer, it doesn't really matter. It was conviction, you're not like that, I am not like that. And I said, well, God, if it's really you, then if I did all those things, I'll be acceptable to you. So I started to, as much as I could, what it said. He gets up early in the morning, or she does. Now, back then, I got up early in the morning because it was all about me. I went running. I used to run every day, 6 miles a day, because that was my frustration out. But then I said, but they don't say that. You provide for the family. You do. I said, wow, okay. I can't do it perfect, but help me. I don't even know whom I was talking to. But I said, help me to become like that Proverbs 31 and show me that's really godly or he doesn't work. I'm going to just say, well, this isn't really true. And the testimony is amazingly, amazingly. I was happier. He was happier. And all of a sudden, my character started to change. I didn't realize how much of a fault-finding person I was to Jesus. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And it was always his fault. It was always my child's fault. I was doing everything proper. And please get this right. I'm from Japan. I was brought up very properly by my mother. So I know how to behave proper. But my heart was not proper. And I kind of still know how to behave proper. But like last night, someone was talking about last year's skit. They said, oh, out of your comfort zone. And there's a little bit of me. It's not that proper. And I, you know. Anyway, so let's kind of look at the... Okay, I'm sorry. I'll be really quick. So God's word says, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body a living sacrifice. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's a famous verse. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do you want to worship God? Yes. It is a living sacrifice for you. When I did the Proverbs 31, I was a living sacrifice for me. Really was. He made it easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It was a heck of a easier than fighting with my unreasonable husband. But still, it was a yoke. I still had to get up. I still actually had to be conscientious of how I am providing my physical labor to my family and emotional support to my family. And wasn't that much spiritual yet. I came to the Lord soon after that, by the way. I mean, for really making a commitment. Mm-hmm. So it's not I didn't know God. I was an organist, church organist for years. So it's not like I didn't have the word. I went to Catholic school. I had to read Old New Testament to get good grade. And I was good at that. I knew what I'm supposed to write on the papers. But it was not in my heart. Mm. But down deep, I so much wanted God. I did. But somehow, I had this in me. I'm not good enough. Yeah. I'm not good enough for him. Because he's holy. So, actually, when I came to the Lord for real commitment, I said to God, you know what? I'm tired. Yes. I'm not feeling. I'm not good enough.
Yes.
I've been playing organ at the church years. I've been, you know, saying, I would not say anything which would blaspheme God, because I think that's not acceptable. Does that make sense? So, I am well behaved. I would never turn around and say, well, you know, you're no good. I am very careful. But I so much wanted God. So one night, I said, you know what, God? You really love me? You really think I am good enough? I had a little problem with my hand. Some of you know my story. So I had a problem. I said, you know, God, I'm done. You heal my hand. I knew that was kind of unreasonable. Like, I am just saying, telling you, God, what to do. I don't advise you to do that. I really don't. Because if that's a sign for you to know God is real, forget it. He's not going to do it. But at that time, I think maybe perhaps he knew my heart was so broken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So real. I got up. I said, whoa, what happened? It's all the problem. My heart is gone. It's healed. And I said to myself, well, this is a side note, I'm not going to tell Marty this. No way! But God is very good. That is very good. Because he knew where I was. And he meets my needs. And so I went to a church meeting one day with my husband, which I didn't go because I was always busy going to my church. But my choir director told me, you're working really too hard. Take next week off. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So I didn't have any excuse why I wouldn't go to church with Marty or service. So I said, okay, I'll go. And someone had a word for my hand. God is healing my hand. So how much longer I'm going to say no to God? Yeah. He's telling me he loves me.
Yeah.
How much longer I'm going to say no? At some point, we have to make a decision, don't we?
Yeah.
At some point, even life is miserable. We have to make a decision. Either God is true for you, or he's not. Either God, whatever the situation, God is going to give you strength to walk it through, or he's not. Mm. And I think sooner we're convinced, better off we are. It's not easy, but I have to tell you, I can quote all the scriptures. I have a bunch of scriptures here. But if it's not in your heart, forget it. Because when push comes to shove,
yes.
Just like I did with the God's voice, get that lady's number, I make phone call, pray. I said, no. Why I said no? I know why I said no. I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't healed yet. But that's my excuse. I need to confess my sins, and I'm confessing it to you. So I may be healed. That makes sense? And there's no condemnation in that.
Amen.
Because I think we all are like that. Aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Whoever is not, just come up here and teach, really. Because I'm not teaching, I'm just sharing. I really had so many things to share, but I just felt like God really wants you to know He is real for your life.
Yes.
And He wants the best for you, but it's not because He can give you things as much as He knows the product He created. In this world, there is trials, tribulations. I think you all know the scripture. If it were not so, He would have told us. But there is a problem. There are going to be, and those trials and tribulations are there to make us more like God. He is creating us to be more like God. So He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Amplify says, you'll be changed. Renewing mind by its new ideals and its new attitude. When we are truly convinced God is for you, our attitudes change. We all have attitudes, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have attitude. Do we have attitude? We have so much of the things going in our heart and mind. Our attitudes are pretty hard. We have to accept the fact of in this world, we have so many things going on. We have so much emotions, don't we? Think about last night, we saw it. Anger, the fear, the cheer, what else did I write down? I wrote down lots of emotions because I know. Because as a little girl, I lived through so many emotions. I did. And now I'm getting old. Some emotions are not quite as pronounced. But anger, the fear, the disappointment, depression, lonely. I'm so elated. I'm so irritated. I am so old. I'm so eager. I have affection. I resent it. I'm worried. I have a grief. Oh my gosh, my husband gives me griefs. No, he doesn't. But all of my children gives me griefs. Or whatever, right? What else? A confusion. Am I so confused? I have a compassion. Frustrated. Do you ever feel frustrated? I am jealous. Now that's a word we try not to accept. We refuse it. But let's be realistic. Have you ever been jealous? And you just can't get over it? Now with God, there's a way. We can get rid of the jealousy. But have you ever been jealous? So much so. You really want to kill somebody, or hurt somebody, or you just want to just turn away, or you get mad at God. Why? Over there, things are great, but why not me? I'm so jealous. Have you ever felt that? I'm not supposed to feel all those things. I was taught not to feel those things, but it doesn't become mine until I really let God have His way. And I can't give you a formula. I can give you lots of formulas. Okay, let me finish reading because I'm so proud I came up with all this. Guilt, ambitions, pride, desire, nervous. Let's see, curiosity. Have you ever been like curiosity kills a cat? Curiosity, I'm so curious. I got to know. And God says, just leave that alone. But I have to know. Of course, main things we talk about, happy, sad, mad, anger, you know. I think we had rejection last night. Felt defeated. All those things are there. And we have to remember, God made us with all those emotions. I think we'll be so stupid say, well, we shouldn't have those emotions because God created mankind. He breathed his soul into the dirt, piece of dirt he created, and man become a living soul. And God has given us emotions. Now, because we live in this twisted world, many negative emotions fill us. I'm not saying God wants us to feel those negative emotions, but we have them. And if we said, so one moment, this is not godly, cast out that demon. We have so many names for demons, don't know a demon, fear demon, whatever demon of demon of demon of demon. You know, in Japan, there's like billion gods. That's a multi-gods country. So by the time you cast out those demons, we'll be dead. Really, it just takes so long. Just naming those demons. But if we have to accept the fact, I believe, is we have those emotions, and they're real. They're real to you right this moment. They're real to you when you feel it. Why wouldn't you feel it? You know, if you find out something so devastating, why wouldn't you be angry? But the word, Ephesians, says, be ye angry, but sin not. Process it. Process it. You can do this with God's help. And I think sometimes we forget how big God is and how capable God is. How often I say, I am, that's the way I am. I'm not going to change. If God really wants me to change, he's going to use a magic and he'll change me. He really doesn't like me the way I am here. He's going to just change me. Have you ever said that? Well, I guess he hasn't changed me. It can't be that bad. Perhaps. Well, that's not the things God is working in me right now. Mm. It's okay. Sometimes that's true. God does not remember little by little. So it's not the whole thing. So we, you know, then we talk about how we need to renew our mind. But have you ever heard the word of the, you can take the people out of Egypt, but you can't take the Egypt out of your mind? Mm. Right? We are, for whatever the reason, we have a different mentalities, victim mentalities, right? Sometimes we have a slave mindset, like we have a poverty mentality. Now, I don't mean poverty. Yes, it is in the physical, but also our mind, being just poor. It's not rich. Then we have an entitlement mentality. I am a princess of God. I am a child of God. I deserve better. What kind of God wouldn't go? I must be doing something wrong, therefore he's not giving it to me, but I am entitled to this. Yes, sometimes God gives you that conviction, and you really have to fight it. Don't get me wrong, because sometimes God says, this is for you, and you're not getting it. You do have to fight it. It doesn't matter, you do the worship, you do the spiritual warfare, you ask, some, go to your elders, know your friends, pray for me, because this thing's creeping up on me, but I know God gave me a promise. We have to fight it. But sometimes our entitlement, especially in this country, is rather sad. I mean, forgive me, because I became a citizen, and I'm American now, and I have the same mentality often. But sometimes I think we get so rights-oriented. We have this right. We have all the rights as a children of God. But we only have the rights God is willing to give you, give me. And I think sometimes we forget what they are. Now, for 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 talks about, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know this. You all know that scripture. For the weapon of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to bring down all the imaginations. Casting down all the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, how many times you have heard that scripture? I bet many times. Is it easy?
No.
No. It just creeps up, doesn't it? Have something? Oh, okay. I would welcome a comment. I suggest something to say. It creeps up. Okay, that's great scripture. Well, first of all, how do we know what is exalting itself against? We have to know the God's word.
Yeah.
Knowing God's word is work. Again, we said work is a four-letter word. But yet, the scriptures were working out our salvation. Has nothing to do with going to heaven. With fear and trembling, salvation of our soul. We're getting perfected. We're working it out. The moment I said, it can't be work, God will do supernaturally. We are lying to ourselves. We don't know the scriptures,
yes.
Do we? So, yes, we love God. We want to worship God, but we also have to realize it's not easy to walk out. But he says, my burden is light. Either you serve God or you serve demon. Now, do you believe that? I know in the past, a few minutes ago, I talked about, do you really believe this is the word of God? All of you said yes. Then it also said, you either serve God or you're serving demons. Now, I don't necessarily like to name every demon, as I said before, but we have to come to the place of, you know what? Am I going to give Satan a foothold in my life willingly because I'm too lazy to study the word? Now, lethargy is, again, it's the enemy's schemes, isn't it? I'm too tired. I just don't have mindset. It's too difficult. So you get the nice CDs, listen to the music, and listen to good teachings, and says, oh, I feel full. But can you be the brilliant? You know what that means?
Yes.
Yes, right? The scriptures act talks about be a brilliant. They checked every day, so it's the scriptures, to see if those things are true or not. And you're not sure. God, I don't know today, but I have an open mind. Show it to me. I'm going to try again tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm going to try again. You will be so deceived if you thought you have it. I have a friend, yeah, she's my friend, my student's mom. She's my age, well, maybe a little younger. Oh, I teach piano, by the way, so I have, you know, come across on me, and she's a Christian, and she was saying, she was a little frustrated. We all get frustrated with some younger people, and they tell me what to do, she tells me, and I'm telling you, they quote scriptures and they probably say that the Bible maybe once in their life, maybe twice the most. They don't even know what they're talking about, so she said. And but she is a lot more mature believer. Now, she was only saying that as a friend, okay? And I think we do need a venting venue. If we cannot vent how we're feeling first to God.
Mm-hmm.
And be careful who you vent to, because you can hurt somebody. Does that make sense? Because I say that about her being she's a believer, and she's a great believer. Please don't get me wrong. But she was frustrated. She trusted me enough to say that. And I don't hold anything against her. And, you know, it was okay. I don't think it was a bad setting. We're just getting together as a friend. So, but sometimes it's a bad setting. And we do have to be careful. You better have a discerning of what you share with some people. Because if someone you're sharing is weak in some areas and you share, you can hurt the person.
That's right.
We are to be thinking other people higher than you, ourselves. We are to love one another. We are to care for one another. Greatest command is love one another. Why do we try to hurt people? Intentionally or non-intentionally? We have to ask God to guard our tongues. Because first, at most place you should go with frustration is where? God, in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? That used to be my favorite hymn. I used to cry as I sang. All cumbers, care, needlessly I suffer. But as I walk with the Lord, I forget. I try to solve the problem. Oh, let me see what the Lord said. Well, let's see what am I thinking, rather than going to the Lord. And sometimes God has to remind me. Last night, when I felt that God changed my message, I said, what do you want me to do? This is really bad. I really had a bunch of good stuff I saw in here. I have a list. Okay? We have to depend on the word of God. We should have a prayer, worship, singing, hymns, spiritual. This is just like outline. Okay? Let's see. We need to abide in him. Well, you don't know what that word, but okay. Let's see. We need to have a fellowship, good fellowship. And we have a bunch of scripture for that. Okay. We need to confess our sins one to another. I have a bunch of scripture for that if you're interested. And we need to have accountability. We have to bear each other's burdens. And that's true. I really think it's good. I think maybe one day I get to teach this. Yeah. But I just felt like we really need to touch the heart. We need to know heart. Our heart. But anyway, last night, so I'm sitting here and Linda's message, this and that, and I said, oh man, I think God is changing my message. I can't do this, and I'm not a night person. I can't even think straight. So I'm trying to write something down, and I don't know what do you mean to? I want to say yes, Lord. She has every page covered, yes, Lord. But what? So I finally said, you know what? It was almost midnight. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. So I just kind of like, because I don't share the room this year, I thought I had two roommates, but they both kind of copped out on me. So I just kind of walked around very quietly. I said, I bring a sacrifice of praise. You're the singer. So I kind of started singing. I can tell you, peace of God surpasses all understanding, filled me.
Amen.
Okay, that's Philippians, right? Everyone knows that scripture. His address, I'll give it to you. It's all here. But I think you know. If not, look it up. It's a work. Remember? Everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be known. And peace of God surpasses all understanding through your heart and mind. But it also says, you better think on good things. Stop being negative. You fill yourself with good things. How unthankful are you? That's what God told me. I am complaining. You're changing my message? Really? I can't tell you how much trouble I had to get this message. 2 weeks ago, I fell in my garage. I fell flat. I tripped. Now, I have a rheumatoid arthritis. So first thing I thought was, oh, man, I broke my bones. Then I said, I'm laying here. Anyone going to come help me? Then I said, I would just want everyone to feel sorry for me. But no one came. So I said, all right, well, let me just try to move my leg. Let's see how it is. And obviously, I didn't have broken bones. So I got up. But I really couldn't walk well. I couldn't drive for a few days because I have a crutch. And so I said, I just came through the feast season. Those of you who doesn't know, our congregation celebrate, feast. We had a fall feast, Sukkot. Sukkot was over Thursday. I fell on Friday. Because I was thinking, oh, now I can kind of put my mind into getting the message done. I was stewing in my head. But then I said, I fell. So I was in pain. I was taking Advil. I was taking this. Still had to take care of my dogs. That's a side note. Who knows, I'm crazy about dogs. But then I've been having some problem with my mouth, my teeth. Dentist's been kind of after me. But I think this fall has kind of affected me. And kind of like my mouth started to swell. I had to go to the dentist. And he said, well, I've been telling you this. You need to come in and get some couple of teeth extracted. I said, oh, I can't do that. I have a conference to go to. Well, It's infected. It's swollen. You can leave it like that. Because they've been talking about how I need to do something about my teeth. I need to get the implant. I need to do this. It's expensive. My mind.
Yes.
Do you understand? And not only that, she's going to try to pull two of my teeth like 3 days before I'm going to come to this conference. Really? I don't think so. So I finally convinced him, well, let's just let it go. You know what? I'm doing a lot better. It doesn't hurt. It's doing better. And then day after that, I woke up with this horrible sore throat. Man, I can't believe this. No, I don't feel good. Now, I can say that's enemy's attacks. I can say that's just me. Maybe I was out of line. But nevertheless, it affected my time to prepare, even though I really did a great job. Well, I don't know about that, but I tried. But it's just kind of like, it's a battle. It was a battle for me. Then the last minute, he tells me I need to change my message. Really? So I was kind of mad last night. Mad in the sense of like, because Linda has really convinced, she gave such a great message. We need to say yes. I'm saying to myself, most of the battle was there. Do I say yes? Well, no, I already have a good one. Well, it may not be a good one, but it's reasonable in the sense of people can understand. And you can relate to the scriptures, and it's not nothing ungodly. You know what I'm saying? I think everyone can get something out of what I prepared. I got a lot out of what I prepared. I really did. But now he's telling me, change a message. Really? I don't think so. That was most of the battle. Then I said, yes, Lord. Then I said, now what? What do you mean to share? What I am sharing is almost like, I am sorry it's boring to you. I really am. But I just felt like I need to share my heart. I need to share my heart. Because if God is not real to you, if your struggle is not real, as much as God says, this is good for me. When Adam was driven out of the Eden, God said, this is for your good. Right? This is for your good. So if we can't embrace that, how good is it? We've got to embrace our trials. I loved, I shouldn't say I love, but scripture on Genesis 3, when it came, he's very upset that his offering was not accepted. Do you remember that? He brought the offerings as well as Abel. So he was not happy. That's what I wrote, and he looked sad and depressed, Amplified Bible says. Then Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why do you look so downcast? What's wrong with you? Now, Cain had a good reason. You know, you favor Abel. What's wrong with you, God? But he doesn't say that on the scripture. But God said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Start doing. Ask me what I need to be doing rather than being mad, disappointed. I said, if you do not what's right, sin is crouching at your door. So I said, and
that's good.
In desire to have you. Sin is desiring to have you. It really is. You must master that sin. You must overcome it. God says, I'm going to overcome for you. He says, you must overcome it. And how to overcome? Yeah, prayers, fasting, the word of God. But your mindset, you're going to have to decide.
Yes.
I have to decide. I'm going to overcome this. I can't say, well, that's the way I am. I cannot say, well, I really don't care. I'm going to be in the glory land. I am already 64. One day I'm going to be dead and I don't have to worry about that. I have to decide. I have to decide. I'm going to overcome it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it doesn't matter you're 20 years old, you're 6 years old, you're 90 years old. It's a constant decision every day for you. I am going to overcome the sin so easily beset us. Knocking on your door. How often were you mad or downcast? Are you going to give your that foot to devil? Are you going to give it to God? I am going to overcome it. Show me. I am going to overcome it. Show me. I think that because God, if you lack in wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you. James, right? So his promise is there. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? When he doesn't answer you right away, do you believe that? Does he always answer you right away? I want to know the secret. Please, come talk to me. Sometimes situation seems to get worse and worse. Yeah? God said, fret not. Taste and see God is good. When the world is going spin cycle, really, he is good. Taste and see. Really?
Yes.
But yet, yes. Do we choose to believe that? Do we choose not to believe that? Or today, God will give me a slack. Now, God is very patient. Mm-hmm. He will give us slack. But also, God is not befooled. We do have to pay the consequences. Sometimes we don't. God's grace is amazing, isn't it? I mean, our consequences with sin is death. We should be dead. But his grace brought us back to the cross, to his salvation. So he is good. But yet we also have to remember when God gave Adam and Eve a free will, before the foundation of our earth, he planted the tree of life. We're going to have to get hold of this because God's ultimate purpose is not to destroy you, but we want to bring you back. He has a plan for all the sins. He had a plan for your free will. And he wants you to learn. He doesn't want to make a robot out of you. He doesn't want to make a robot out of me. Out of all the despair I had, all the joy I had in my life, he wants to make me something special. It's only I can be. He wants to make you and you and you, every one of you special. Only you can be. Because that's how he created it. He has a plan for your life.
He knows what's good for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
He knows what's good for you. Give praise to God who gives us grace. He knows what's good for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Give
Thank
praise you. To God who gives us grace. He knows what's good for you.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm looking at the time, and they say, oh, I have to do 9:30 and 10:30. I realize we're supposed to be done 10:15, and it's 10:22. My mind is cluttered. I am so sorry to keep it. Now you have only short time to go to the bathroom and so forth. But can we at least close us in prayer?
Yes. Thank you,
Chief. Who wants to close us?
Thank you, Chief.
Jesus,
Thank you.
Lord.
Thank you.
Who wants to close us in prayer?
Jesus, oh, Lord.
You will? Okay, go, yes. Please.
We thank you for this moment. We thank you for the love that you have got for us.
Yes.
Dear Lord, you know your plan for us is for good.
Yes.
That is why you have called us here to listen to you and to know who you are more.
Yes.
Father, let us live according to your will. And we cannot do this by ourselves unless you send your Holy Spirit to be with us always and then to be our teacher and our God and guide. Every time and everywhere at every moment.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Do not leave us alone. Always keep us near so that we'll be glorifying you all the time.
Yes.
We pray in your name. Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And please remember, God himself has gone through the cross. He understands you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he will never let you go. It's good and bad. Because sometimes we want him to let us go. But he will never let you go. So just hold on to him. You have a choice. Hold on to him or let him go. But he won't let you go. So in this battle, please choose life today.